him trying to cut this extra speaker off. It was kind of running back and forth and riding the two, I think. If you have your Bibles, how many of you have a red Bible? Hold it up. I'm not talking about the color red. I'm talking about the Bible you read every day. That's the red Bible. Turn your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 21 through 33, dealing with the problematic kings that Israel had. One of them was Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. Beginning in verse number 21, we read this. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But when the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, "Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel, lest every man return to his house. For this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice. Make two calves of gold and said to the people, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. During the COVID-19 crisis, many churches provided drive-in worship services. They had speakers set up in the parking lot, or they were connected to a special AM or FM radio channel so that people could sit in their cars and listen to the sermon. And people didn't have to dress formally to come inside. They don't really do that much anymore anyway, do they? So what's the point? Well, we had live streaming services here during COVID. But I remember some churches were doing this even before COVID hit. They were having drive-in worship services. Why? They wanted to make it more convenient. They wanted to make religion convenient, making it easy to worship without getting inside the church building. Folks, this was Jeroboam's philosophy. During the chaotic days following Solomon's death, Rehoboam threatened to be a tougher king than his father, and the kingdom split into two kingdoms. When you study that history, that's exactly what happens. Jeroboam, a former officer of Solomon's who had been in exile in Egypt, became king of the northern 10 tribes, but he had a problem. How could he wean the people away from loyalty to the house of David so long as the most devout went up to Jerusalem to the great feast at the temple? He considered this a dangerous situation and a threat to his rule, so he conceived a solution. Hiding his real motives behind the cloak of concern for the welfare of the people, he said in verse 28 of this passage, "It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt." He was saying, "It's too hard for you to go down there. You've carried this burden long enough." So to cut them off completely from their ancestral roots, he devised a clever strategy of making religion easy. But in so doing, he betrayed the Lord God for the sake of a secure throne and undisputed control, spiritually as well as secular control over his people. I submit to you, this is a popular strategy even today. A large portion of the American people are professedly religious, but their religion many times is neither deep, vital, nor real, motivated by selfishness, being unwisely conceived and dangerous in the extreme. They want religion to be convenient, to be easy. That was Jeroboam. He substituted easy religion, but it had tragic consequences. We read in verse 30, "This thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan." They worshiped idols. In chapter 14, we read this, verses 14 through 16. "Moreover, the Bible says the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day." What? "Even now. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers and will scatter them beyond the river because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and who made Israel sin." Not a pretty picture. What was true then is still true today, I'm afraid, in many areas. Easy religion was fatal then. It still is today. There are four things we need to see about easy religion as I talk about it tonight. First of all, we need to look at the characteristics of an easy religion. First of all, it's not of the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse number 28 that it's too hard for you to go up to Jerusalem. "Hear your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Jeroboam sized up the religious situation and sought some advice, but not from the Lord. And what he did was in direct violation of the second commandment, prohibiting the worship of God with the use of images. "You have no other gods before me, no false images." You're not to make that, but they did that anyway. So it's not of God. Easy religion is not of the Lord. Secondly, it's hypocritical. "Here are the gods that brought you out of Egypt," he said, "false gods, man-made religion, man-made guidance and direction." Jeroboam was voicing the right words, but he was praising the wrong gods. Throughout their history, Israel's prophets and psalmists reminded them of God's redemption of his people from Egyptian bondage. For his own advantage, however, Jeroboam was desperately and deliberately hypocritical. We hear a lot about hypocrisy, don't we? Hypocrites in the church today, all too often. Jesus warned his disciples to beware of hypocrisy, pretending to be something that we aren't, acting with a mask covering our faces. Hypocrisy is a terrible sign of trouble in an individual's heart. It waits only for the day of exposure. As John Milton put it in Paradise Lost, "Neither men nor angels can discern hypocrisy, the only evil that walks invisible except to God." You can't hide it from God. He knows what's in our hearts. So we need to avoid hypocrisy. What they were doing, they were trusting in man and not in God. I'm afraid that many professed believers today say they believe in God, but all too often they live as if God were dead or does not exist. I think it was either Dr. David Jeremiah or Chuck Swindoll, I'm not sure which one it was, I read some time ago, said that he's afraid there are many practical atheists, even in our churches, who profess to be religious and have a relationship with God, but live as if God was not, did not exist. And easy religion can and does make do with substandard preachers. He talks about it in verse number 31. Notice what he did. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the tribe or the sons of Levi. You see, Israel had a guidance to follow. They had a Levitical priesthood that were to be the priest. They were to select priests for only from that tribe, the Levites. But Jeroboam said, hey, don't have them. They've all evidently they disagreed with what was going on, so they went to Jerusalem to worship the way they had been instructed. So he just set up false priests. The probable reason for not, as I said, they had gone to Judah. They were against these religious innovations that Jeroboam put in place. So he chose priests from every class of people. Listen, God's call and God's word were ignored. The hard fact is that much religion comes from substandard preaching. One of our professors at seminary made the comment. He said he was afraid that many guys who were at seminary and preachers had not been called by God. They had been called by grandma or mama and said they just didn't stick. You realize that we're living in a time today when more preachers are leaving the ministry than ever before in this country. Being a pastor today is not easy. Being a leader in the church today is not easy, and many of them are just walking away. In these past 50-plus years of being in the gospel ministry, there have been times when the thought comes, you know, why in the world am I here? What am I doing? What am I going to do? Where am I headed? And the one thing that's kept me is I knew this. God called me to preach. Don't always do as good a job as I think I ought to do, but I know God called me. That's the one thing that's kept me going down through the years, because I faced some difficult times. It started out in the very first church I pastored, some great people there. Well, we had some tremendous trouble, too. It was difficult. Went through 2 years of almost pure torment there. 2 years of trials and temptation. And then the last 2 years of being found faithful, God blessed with 2 years of revival and God moving in a wonderful way. Then I left a church that was going great and went to another church, and God called us there. It was trouble from day one. I came home one day. We had had a church council meeting. I told my wife, been down 30 days. I said, honey, these are the maddest people I've ever seen in my life. They were mad at one another. It's not easy being a pastor. You have to be called of God to put up with what you have to put up with sometimes. It was so bad that there was a lady singing in the choir, and one Sunday, one of her cousins, they had had a dispute. She walked up in the choir just before the service started and slapped her cousin in the face and left. You talk about ministering in a situation like that? It's not easy. You have to be God called to do it. But they wanted substandard preachers. That's what Jeroboam put in place. Chuck Swindoll said this, a mist in the pulpit does create a fog in the pew. Sometimes that's what people want. But the Apostle Paul reminds us of what can happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in his last words before he gave his life, he was martyred. He told Timothy to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn away their ears away from the truth, be turned aside to faithful. But you, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. People like to hear messages that tickle their ears and please them, makes them feel good. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the gospel makes you feel bad. It convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment to come and reminds us, hey, I've got a problem. I need to deal with it. And we don't like to deal with our problems sometimes, do we? It's especially when it's personal. We think, hey, I'm all right, you're all right, but sometimes we're not too all right, are we? And God convicts us by His Spirit, and we need someone to tell us the truth. And it often makes, easy religion often makes religion a side issue. Many times, there are those who have made entertainment the focus instead of the worship of Almighty God. Jeroboam did that, but his phony feast did nothing for the lives of the people. It was an imitation, like the festival held in Judah. In verse 32, his feasts were irrelevant. One layman one time asked another how the members of the new members liked the new pastor. And the man replied, our new pastor can answer more questions nobody's asking than any minister we've ever had. I hope I don't want to fall into that trap. It's a challenge to make the gospel as simple and relevant as you can. We were challenged at seminary. If you need to preach like you're preaching to a 12-year-old all the time, then anybody can understand it. Sometimes that's a challenge with some of the issues we have to deal with. Sometimes we get caught up into having social events. They become more important than changed lives. It's good to have fellowship time. We need to have more of them in the church, I'm convinced today, especially with our small groups. We need to have more fellowship times together. But it's not all about having a big time. It's about sharing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that in today's world, our challenge is to stay up with the time, to serve our generation, yet in no way to alter the truth of the Word of God. Styles and methods change and must be kept up to date, but truth is timeless. It's not subject to change. We are to be willing to leave the familiar without disturbing the essentials. There are some essentials from the Word of God that we must not leave. To minister effectively, the church must wake up to what changes and what doesn't. The church that sits around frowning at the future doing little more than polishing yesterday's apples will become a church lacking in relevance and excitement. At the same time, the church that softens its stand theologically and alters Scripture to fit the future style will lose its power and lose its effectiveness. We must stand by the truth of the Word of God. Easy religion is fatal. What does it cause? That's how you describe it. There's the characteristics of it. We see it all around us. What are the causes of easy religion? There are three that we need to look at. Easy religion is self-motivated and not God-motivated. Jeroboam's real concern was his position on the throne and the safety of his life. He talks about it in verses 26 and 27. He's worried about what's going to happen. These people leave, they'll come up here and take my life, and I'll be dethroned and lose my life. That's what he's basically saying. He could have cared less about the spiritual welfare of the people. To have a religion that we can command is to be self-deceived, because when we get it, what do we have? We don't have nothing. This man made. A British historian tells of an English nobleman of 100 years ago who was incensed by the preaching he had been hearing. He said this, things have come to a pretty pass, he said, when religion is allowed to interfere with a man's private life. I wonder, he says 100 years ago, boy, it could have happened today or yesterday, could it not? Isn't that where we are? A lot of people. Some people come to church if it's convenient. I don't want to miss my ball game, or I don't want to miss this event or a race or anything else. By the way, preacher, I have to get up too early. We can't even get our folks to get here by 9:30 sometimes. I wonder how many of those people who say they can't get to church by 9:30, if they tell their boss man, I can't get to work by 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock as the company demands. Preacher, boss man, I can't get here. I'll come. If it's convenient, I'll try to be here by 9:30, 10 o'clock. I know we're supposed to check in at 8. How long do you think he's going to have a job? And yet we treat God just that way, don't we? We want a religion of convenience too many times. That's not God's way at all.